first one that comes to mind, early bird gets the worm.
Use your head for something more than a hat rack.
Whatever you are, be a good one.
The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
As my ninth grade world history teacher used to say, better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt.
If you teach a bear to dance, you better be prepared to dance with a bear anytime he wants.
If you close your mouth, you might actually learn something.
Failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. I think that's something that I can always go to because God always has plans that I know nothing about and I can trust in that.
Sometimes the questions are complicated, but the answers are simple.
If you're married, fight naked.
Listen first, think next, and speak last.
So many to choose from.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is that a wisdom?
I gotta work it again and again until I get it right. In the words of Hannah Montana.
Smoke them if you got them.
Shut up and dance.
Good morning, everybody. Why don't you stand up and sing a little bit with us? see what it's made of me. Remind me who I am. When I've chosen my own road, to find them on my own. Remind me who I am. To pieces, yeah. Would you show me what free is? Yeah. Tell me, hey, once again, who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me, I forget who I am to you.
Because he is truly worthy of everything that we can give him and even more. And everything that we have, that I have, is from God, and everything that I have, I want to give it back to him. And so that is why I sing to him, because I want to love him and give him everything that I can. But we don't just worship him by singing. We also worship God through our actions.
God called us into a battle that would change the game for people around the world. Freedom for girls who were being forced into sex slavery. Change for those made vulnerable by HIV and AIDS in South Africa. Hope for people fighting generational poverty in Cincinnati. And places in our city where our friends and neighbors could hear about Jesus in a unique way. We followed God's call. We trusted. We sacrificed. And in the past few years, God exceeded our greatest expectations for the work he has called us to.
You're worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. So much that I am one that you love, God, the one that you love, and that you care for each and every one of us, and you walk beside us and you lead us. And at the same time that you are our friend and our Father, that you are God and you are King, you are holy and above everything and deserve everything that we can give you and more. It is amazing to me, and I thank you for that you are both God and that you are both King and Father. Thanks for loving us like you do. Amen. Okay, guys, good singing. Good job. Yeah. Why don't you guys give somebody a giant high five and tell them howdy, and you can have a seat.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Allie Patterson, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Crossroads. And each time I look at that video, I just remember what an honor it is to be in community with all you guys. There's a lot of you here, all of you guys. And how awesome it is to take just with you God's love and generosity and move out into the world with it. Each time that has touched me that we've seen it this weekend. There's a group in our midst who does that on a regular basis and maybe an unexpected way. It's a group called Unpolished. Unpolished is a collection of business people and entrepreneurs that are committed to building new business on the cornerstone of their faith. They meet monthly here at Crossroads, but they have something kind of exciting and unusual happening. Take a look at this.
Entrepreneurship is a vertical climb. No nets. No ropes, no excuses. It's cutting off the marked trail, across the open plains, and stepping onto the mountain to climb. It's the dirty work. Staying up late, waking up early, grinding it out. Day after day after day after day. It's hustle and grit. It's moving forward without all the pieces, because, damn it, you never get all the pieces. It's unwritten. It's unwavering. It's unpolished.
Yeah, you can clap for that. First ever Unpolished Conference happening here. It's drawing attention literally from around the world. Amazing lineup of speakers. And because Crossroads has been a foundational part of that movement, we want to offer you the chance to come. If this pulls at your heart in any way, be there. Join us September 17th and 18th. And there's a promotional code that's only good for this weekend that you can get 50% off of your admission to the conference. So get out your phone or a pen and write this down. The promo code, like any good promo code, is case and space sensitive. So get this right. Unpolished Oakley. Visit the website that you saw and get your 50% off tickets this weekend. Don't miss it. There's another community really on the move in the city, and that is our brand new site, Crossroads Uptown. Yeah. Crossroads UC Clifton Bogarts is now officially and permanently Crossroads Uptown. And if you're a college-age person sitting in this room-ish, you need to check it out Sunday nights. They're meeting at Bogarts currently, 7 p.m. Be there. There's a really sweet community forming that would really be amazing. It is not just college students. It's pulling from neighborhoods all around that area, but we think that you would really love to check that out. So if you're sitting in here and that's you, check it out Sundays at 7. we all sort of need to find that kind of community where we can just connect with other people who are sort of in our same place. So men, this is your chance. We have Man Camp is back, baby. Man Camp XXL, three times the number of spots. Last time, the spots were gone in about 75 seconds after we opened up the link. So hopefully you will have plenty of chance to sign up. And men, don't miss that. Set a reminder on your phone for Tuesday, August 25th at 6 a.m. Yeah, you got to want it. 6 a.m. And ladies, I will say to you, as the wife of a guy who went to Man Camp Frozen, the very first one, we are still having, somebody else went, yeah. So we are still having amazing conversations about what went down at Man Camp. So I would encourage you, if you're the friend, girlfriend, or wife of a guy who's considering, just open the door, take the kids with a smile, clear the calendar, whatever you need to do. Trust me, you'll be thankful for it. We take up an offering now in our service, and as we were singing, I was just thinking that's exactly why we give. We give in as an act of worship with our actions, and because from God are all things. And you can join me in doing that two different ways. One is the good old-fashioned bag that's going to come at you down the aisles in a minute. But if you're like me and you never have cash and you never have a checkbook, then you can probably get there quick on your phone, crossroads.net/give, and set up a recurring e-gift. It's super simple, and we love doing that. That's how our family gives. While you're giving, you guys are going to get a sneak peek of what's going to go down at Man Camp. Check it out.
Great. I might also say at the same time, we've got a group of women who've been getting together figuring out what is the Man Camp near equivalent that turbocharges women in our midst. So I'm excited to see how that's going to come together. We've just seen just unique things are happening in women's lives and men's lives. We're trying to get behind that as best we can. Also, I'm really excited about that Unpolished Conference. It's the first conference we've ever done here at Crossroads because the first thing that we think we have a unique voice to lend and build into in that area. And I'm excited to speak at it. It's going to be a really, really great thing. And here's the weird thing. I know when I mention those things, it's really, really crazy. My tongue, my words are going to affect action on that. It's the same way with you. Do you know that you have the ability to change lives? You know you have that ability because you have the same muscle that I have. It's the muscle of that tongue right here. Last week, we looked at the macro idea of what wisdom is. Seeing patterns and taking action. We looked at that big old idea last week, and I'm excited about this series because I'm tired of seeing people shipwreck their lives because they don't see the pattern. I'm tired of seeing people live here when they could be here if only they saw the pattern and took action. So I'm excited for us to go to a place where God has designed and destined us to go, but we're going to go beyond the macro, and we're going to go to the micro this week, next week, and the next week after. Look at things, and today, it's the power that you have to change your life and change other people's lives. It's simply learning how to use your mouth appropriately. So let's pray before we go any further. God, you're good to give us moments to slow down and to be silent and to grow, to spiritually grow. And hopefully today, not just spiritually grow, but relationally grow, maybe even financially grow. Grow in all areas because of using the powerful muscle of the tongue. So help my tongue to be clear and helpful and be in alignment with your heart. And I pray these things according to the person and character of Jesus. Amen. 2009 study by the University of California found that every day you and I hear 100,000 words. Either from people talking to us or lyrics on the radio or advertisements, whatever it is, 100,000 words. Every day, you and I give 16,000 words. We have the unique ability to communicate that no other creature has. We have the ability to form words and dialect that no other creature does. Why? Because you and I are created in the image of God. We have capacities that no other animal has. You and I can do things that my dog Winston can't do. We do things that no question my cat Frank cannot do, because Winston's above Frank in the hierarchy of chain, and I'm above Winston as well. Why is that? It's because God has the capacity to form words and to speak things. And that's why you and I have the capacity to form words and speak things. There's a power to it. In fact, in the very beginning of the Bible, we see God speaking. He forms the earth and the cosmos and all that he does. And it says this about the first day. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God said it. He spoke it. And the second day, he says something else, separating expanse. And the third day says something else. The fourth day says something, creepy things, water, things in the... all. He says it and speaks it. The way that God formed the elements, however long it took, however long he decided to do it, he did it through speaking. Now, if you go fast forward a few thousand years or a couple hundred trillion years, I don't know how many years, fast forward way, way, way on, and you come to Jesus, the very Son of God himself, in the book of John in the New Testament, one of the authorized biographies of Jesus, the way it describes Jesus is actually also the oldest, we believe, the oldest biography of Jesus. It describes him this way in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In him all things were made, through him and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is saying here that Jesus didn't come into existence when Mary plopped him out of herself in Bethlehem for Christmas. It says that Jesus was in existence when the earth was formed, and he was actually the Word that was found. Now, I don't understand how this all works together. All I know is this. Don't ever say Crossroads doesn't ever talk about anything deep. That's pretty deep right there. So deep, I can't even talk about it anymore. It's about all I know about it. But nonetheless, we see that Jesus is the Word, and God speaks this Word. And this is how creation comes into being. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. If you get a hold and understand the power of your tongue, you can create things. You can create esteem in people. You can create business. You can also wreak havoc, because the tongue is powerful. Now, you might not believe Jesus is the Word as I just described in as the Bible talks. I mean, we've got people all over the place. I mean, some people in here, I'm not sure if Jesus is that much higher than Gandhi or Buddha or some such thing. But here's one thing I know everyone agrees about Jesus. It's that he was a great teacher, right? Everyone, great teacher. Everyone said he was a great... He was able to use his words to change the world. We're here today because of his words, and they've had a rippling effect on all society. He says about his life, when people were criticizing him for the things that he said about himself, he says, wisdom is born out in her children. In other words, if you question whether or not I've seen the pattern, whether or not I'm taking action, just take a look at the remnants of my life. Look at the people whose lives are better. I'm seeing the pattern and I'm acting accordingly. And he spoke a lot about actions. And he spoke a lot about our speech. A couple things he mentioned. He said, the words reflect our heart. Our words simply tell what's in our heart. Jesus said this. He said, your words tell everyone else what is in your heart. What you say flows from your heart. That's Luke 6:45. Are we enjoying Donald Trump's run for the presidency? Who's enjoying Donald Trump's run for the presidency? I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Don't agree with a lot of it. You might not, but you have to enjoy it. I mean, this is good stuff. I'm sorry. You know why I'm enjoying it? I'm enjoying it because he has no governor between his heart and his mouth. There's no governor there at all. It's like, he's living what Jesus talked about. And he's deciding not to spend his money the way other politicians are spending his money. He's not spending his money to take polls and figure out what should be said. He's not, you know, hiring people to massage. And even you're hearing politicians who are diametrically opposed to his views are saying things like, we need to learn a lot from Donald Trump. They're not saying we need to have his values. What they're saying is he's striking a chord because guess what? You and I are interested in what someone's heart looks like. Even if we don't like what it looks like, we're interested in hearing what it looks like. Our heart comes out through our words. People say, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. Oh, yes, you did. Yeah, when we say, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way, what's happening is we're realizing I didn't govern my words the right way, and they just came out. Now I realize you see what my heart is on that issue, and now I need to backtrack. Oh, no, it's taken out of context. Maybe taken out of context. Maybe just you saw the context of the quote and realized, darn it, they know who I am now. I didn't say things the way that they would like me to be said. Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth is a very clear indicator of what's in your heart. And our words direct our actions. Our words reflect our hearts, and our words direct our actions. When I go to get on the treadmill, I want to direct my actions. So I go and I'll oftentimes get in the elliptical and I'll just say out loud, 20 minutes to level 15. I want to say it. There's something about the power of the spoken word. Jesus saw in their time, his time, people used long flowery speeches, long flowery words for the wrong reason. They thought that the more I spoke, and the more I swore by certain things, the more seriously you take me. I swear by heaven and earth. I swear by not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Stick a needle in my eye. Hope to die. Yada yada yada. They kept thinking if I say a lot of things, people think I'm really serious. And Jesus says they got to say a lot of things because they're not following through in what their words are. So Jesus says, I tell you, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from the evil one. You need to be of such a person that people know when you say it, you do it. All you got to do is say, yep, nope. The other night, Lib and I were, this last week, we were doing our normal routine. We were sitting in the back deck. We were sort of debriefing the day. And up came something she wanted to talk about that I didn't want to talk about. And it was the outside of our house. You know, we've got things need to be maintained better. We've got this program. You know, she's going on and on and on. She's going on. And what am I doing? Just let her have the line, let her keep going, you know. So, she kept going on and on. Finally, we got to a new topic. So wonderful, new topic, and we went on the topic. See, because here's the thing. I don't mind getting dirty. I don't mind hard work at all. I like getting dirty for the right things. I like when grease is under my fingernails. I've been replacing a final drive on my motorcycle, and I like doing that with my. I like working with my hands. But here's what I like: when I replace something on my motorcycle, it lasts for years. When I go get dirty out in the yard, it lasts for a week. Maybe, but it's just, for me, it's frustrating. For a lot of you, it's therapeutic. That's awesome. Appreciate you. God bless America. But for me, it's just, I do it. I do it. I don't pay somebody because I'm kind of cheap in that way. But I just don't, or tell my daughter to do it. You got it there. And come, I do that. But I just, you know, so the next night we're sitting down and it comes up again. And by the way, why did I not say anything the night before? I didn't say anything because I wasn't ready to commit to anything. I didn't say anything. So she brings it up the next night, and as soon as she starts in, I go, honey, you're right. I'm going to handle it. On to the next topic immediately, just that quickly. Why? Because I think I've got a pretty good tracker record for when I say something, I'm going to do something. So just bringing it up, using the power of my tongue, it sidetracked a whole debate because my actions were associated with this. You need to be that way too. When you say it, that muscle should set in motion all the muscles of your body so that you can be a person of your word, and that will make life simpler for you. It'll make life easy for you. It'll have people do things for you, receive commitments from you, take risks on you, because they know that when your muscle and your mouth works, the rest of your muscles fall right behind and you go there. And this is what Jesus referred to. We have these sayings in our society that are absolutely dead wrong. We don't understand the pattern of our mouth in our society. We have sayings like, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a stupid lie. It's absolutely not true. It's stupid. It's not true. I tell you what, I've had a lot of broken bones, broken finger, broke my left arm a few times, stitches all over my body. Guess what? It hurts when it happens, and then it mends, and I never think about it again. It's gone, unless you say, whatever happened to your finger? Then I think about it. I never feel it doesn't bother me at all. But I'll tell you, the name I was called in third grade, I think about that one. That hurt me. That took a long time to heal up beyond what a broken arm would. We hired a consultant a number of years ago to help us with our staff culture, and this guy got some bad information. There's just some weird stuff going on there. He actually wasn't a consultant. I called him an insultant, is what he was. He just would like. I remember one time he said to me, "I can guarantee that any organization you lead will be dysfunctional." I think about that comment. That was 10 years ago. I don't think about going through a deer and splitting a deer and stitches and yada yada. I don't think about that pain at all. That happens sooner than that. I think about that. In fact, I'm kind of liking talking about it right now. It actually feels kind of good. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times we win, like, employee workplace, best workplace out in the city or whatever. It doesn't matter how many times we win that. It's like, it always feels good. Like, oh, I got to send them those results now. Why? Because it's just showing me those words still bruise me. Those words still affect me. It's the power of words. I remember on the other side of the perspective, I was playing as an 8-year-old. We had this league in Pittsburgh. It was called the Midget Football League. Yes. Now, to be clear, it was not me playing against little people. I myself was a little person at that point. But I went from being a quarterback as an 8-year-old to then the 9-year-old team. And I remember bumping in to the quarterback or the coach of the 8-year-old team while I was playing as a 9-year-old. And he looked at me and said, "We're watching you, Brian. We're proud of you and we're watching you." Like he struck something deep in me. I'd never had an adult speak into me like that, set a vision for me, speak highly of me. I'll tell you what, I was playing varsity football and I was thinking of Gary Christian's words. In fact, he's virtually the only adult whose full name I can remember from when I was an 8-year-old. But I remember because the power of his words, if he was watching or anyone else was watching, I wanted them to be proud. And it was the power of the words. If you can get, friends, I'm telling you, if you can get this down and understand that, oh, I'm just processing. No, don't use your tongue to just process. Use your tongue to change people. Use your tongue to change others. I'll tell you, those of us who have parents of younger kids, I'll tell you what I did with my kids when I understood this, is I would want to tell them stories when they went to bed. So sometimes I'd read a Bible story to them. Sometimes I'd read another story to them, or I'd tell them a Bible story or tell them another story. The most powerful ones, though, when I would make up on the spot stories about them being heroes. So here's one story that I would tell. I would make them up. And this is one I can remember. They could probably remember more of them. This is the one I remember right now. I'd say, Lena, Jake, and Mariah were out in the front yard, and they're playing kickball. And there was a mother who was walking her baby in a baby carriage, and she stumbled, and she let go of her baby carriage, and her baby carriage started rolling down the hill towards the highway. And the mother couldn't catch her baby carriage, and so she was yelling, "My baby, somebody help, my baby." And Lena, Jake, and Mariah saw the carriage running, going down the road towards the highway where it would be killed with the car that would smash it. And they started to run after the baby, run. They couldn't reach the baby. They couldn't reach the handle. So they dove. They dove and they grabbed the axle and their face hit the concrete and they got blood all over their face. And they knocked the wind out of themselves, but they stopped the baby carriage. And the mother came running up and said, "Oh, you did it. You saved my baby. You are a hero. You are strong. You are brave." And that's what Lena, Jake, and Mariah are. They're heroes who are strong and brave. The end. Now, if you're a parent right now, we should just close in prayer. You should leave right now. It's not going to get any better than that right now. I'm telling you, you will change your kids' lives. You start using your mouth that way instead of, "You'll never amount to anything," like some of us have heard. "You're just like your mother. Why do you always in? Why, you know?" I'm not saying we shouldn't scold, but your primary thing is, man, build up. Use the power of your tongue in a positive way. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." A lot of verses I'm giving you today, because friends, this is a pattern all throughout Jesus' life and all throughout the Bible. As we talk about our kids, some of us have students, people in 6th grade to 12th grade. I'm going to use the power of my tongue just to call you out and challenge you here. A lot of students are going to be here at Big tonight. It's going to be great. I'm so excited about how the student ministry is going, the trajectory. I feel like we've got traction for the first time in 20 years here in our church. I love it. We've had more kids go to camp than we ever have, more kids getting baptized, volunteers engaging, just really, really great stuff. And so once a month, the big event is here with all of our students at all of our different camps are here. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a student and you want to go after God more and get in touch with other people, man, make it a priority. And parents, I want to challenge you a little bit. It seems to me parents are way more interested in their kids' education than they are their kids' spiritual formation. I want to tell you, man, if you should be concerned about that, you should never say, "Wait a minute, you have homework tonight." Man, you let your kids blow off homework if they're going to be spiritually formed. I believe in good grades. I believe in hard work. But friends, I'm just telling you, most of our words are directed towards our kids' education, not their spiritual formation. And you need to be supportive of that. Big is great. I'm excited about it. James 3:2-5 says, "Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts." Okay, so a few things about this. First of all, perfect. Who's perfect in here? Please raise your hand. Anybody perfect? No. I mean, we know we're not. We say it all the time. Hannah Montana told us nobody's perfect. When we get challenged, someone's like, "Sorry, I'm not perfect." So understand the way we use our words can be important to recognize in a few minutes. We're not perfect. But if we can get a hold of our tongue, if we can get a hold of our tongue can steer our whole body. Just like a rudder in a ship, a little thing with a whole huge deal, or a bit in a horse's mouth that can steer it so, our tongue, power of the tongue can steer our lives and steer the lives of other people. We have to speak it loudly. We have to bring it out into the light. And maybe you want to make an investment in the power of your speech.
Everyone faces barriers in life. Yet nothing is more powerful than overcoming them. One of the biggest barriers of all is the language barrier. But now you can overcome that barrier with the help of our revolutionary product.
Yes, Dalio! Bloody hell!
Introducing Rosetta Tome. It's the fastest, most natural way to learn a regional accent. Guaranteed.
Aye, matey, aye, way over there. Y'all know where they wear bagpipes, put a shrimp on the barbie. Aye.
I feel like I can really connect with my Scottish grandfather now.
Honestly, mate, best thing I can do is, you can do for me is help me. Now I'm going into Alabama right now.
Speaking to someone in their own accent can be incredibly powerful.
P-E-R-O-N-P-E-R-I-G-E-O-R.
Rosetta Tome, in my opinion, is the ultimate method, the only method to learning an accent.
Gah! Gah!
I would never dreamed I'd be able to communicate with the birds in my own backyard. I mean, we really understand each other.
Call this number now and try a free trial version of our cutting-edge software. Then, travel the world as a friend, not a tourist. Paint a picture for a client in a vocabulary that resonates with them. Learn where you come from and connect like never before. Call now to take advantage of this incredible leap in speech learning technology. Rosetta Tome. Let's break down the language barrier.
Oh, the power of language. So, let me give us two applications for today. Two applications. First application is this. Shut up. In fact, I have seven words for you. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut! Let's all say it together. That's a big application. On three, seven words. One, two, three. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut! Yes, shut the heck up! Shut your yapper! Yapper, shut it up! Proverbs 17:29 says, even fools are thought wise if they shut up and discern if they hold their tongue. So guess what this means? If you would just talk less, everyone around you would think your IQ is 30 points higher than it is right now. Because when you talk as much as you do and say the things that we do, we communicate to people, either we're not secure in our identity, so we got to keep blabbing, or we got to keep having court and having the center on us, or we have to keep giving our opinions, thinking, I don't know why, just shut up. Spend more time saying less. Most important part of my day, bar none, is in the morning when I get with God and I read His Word, read the Bible, and pray, or just sit there and be silent and shut up. And as I'm doing that, my mind will start to wander, and I've got to wait, okay, is my mind wandering because of a poor attention span? Or is my mind maybe wandering because God's taking my mind someplace that He wants me to think and pray about? So I'm sort of in that discernment mode, and this just last 2 weeks, at this one time, it was going, and it kept coming up to this topic. And I kept like feeling something about it. I said, okay, I think God's talking here. I'm being silent enough. And what it basically was is, I mean, I love our staff culture. I love our staff. We got some really great people who serve us. We really do. They do an amazing, amazing job. And I also was starting to feel like, I feel like I've just sort of taken my foot off the accelerator a bit and delegated out a long time ago in the interview process. I haven't interviewed somebody, unless it's a direct report of mine, for a long, long, long time. And I thought probably good just to have as a final check to spend some time with people. And so I went to our HR person, Latasha, and I said, just a final check, not any big thing I want to look into or add to the process, but I just want to look at a person and make sure that they're in for a calling, they're in for a journey, as opposed to a really good, healthy place to work. I just want to make sure of that, because it is good and healthy, even though the consultant didn't agree with that. I want to make sure that this isn't just a good job, a good, healthy job environment, or there's a fire in the belly to make sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I feel better if I have 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it is. And so we've been doing that, and it's been really, really good. And it came out of shutting up, being quiet. Now, the Bible lays out some destructive patterns that we have that we need to shut. And all of us, because we already established earlier, none of us are perfect, right? Who perfectly uses their mouth? Raise your hand. Who perfectly uses their mouth? None of us are perfect. All of us from time to time misuse our mouths. I want to give you handles for the ways that you and I misuse our mouth. There's three categories that God uses. The first category, or one category that God talks about, is the fool. The fool. Now, you and I think of fools as someone who has a low IQ. No, the fool in the Bible is meant to be somebody who just talks a lot. They talk first. Their idea of listening is waiting for you to shut up so they can talk again. And here's what the Bible says about the fool. It says that the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the fool gushes folly. Again, folly there isn't necessarily gushing 2 times 2 equals 9. It's just gushes stuff this minute. Hey, hear about the weather today. Oh, what do you think about that? Oh, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. They have to fill the air. They can't have any silence at all. They just keep talking over and over. This is the fool. I don't know if this comes from insecurities, if this comes, who knows where it comes from for all of us who might be in this category, but it's called the fool. The second one is the gossip. And the gossip loves juicy piece of info specifically about other people. The book of Proverbs says this: a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So a gossip, rather than talking about big overarching macro ideas that are difficult to wrestle around but can be very stimulating conversation, their easy go-to is talk about other people, specifically other people who aren't there, specifically other people who aren't there, the people who are there know, specifically other people who aren't there, the people who are there do know and could have a bad idea about them based on this information. And the gossip isn't thinking this way necessarily. It's just what happens. Hey, did you hear about Sue? I heard he, but I just wish I had. It's the gossip. It's the go-to default mechanism in our tongue. The third one, and this is me, by the way, is the mocker. This is my. All of us have a base temptation to misuse our tongues in one of these three areas. This is mine. The mocker uses words to push others downward. The mocker has pride, can't be taught anything, has to belittle people, have different opinions than they do. Proverbs 21:24 says, "The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury." So if you're a mocker, when you hear something that a politician believes is different from you, you go, oh, what an idiot, yeah, and you just immediately spew things. If you're a mocker, based on your interpretation of race relations here in our city, if you're a mocker, when someone who says something is different than you, you don't go, I should just shut up and think about that because it's different than, I don't like that, it's different than what I think, but I should just shut up and see if there's something there I can glean. No, mocker doesn't do that. Oh, yeah, so I guess you don't support police. Oh, yeah, I guess you don't believe that black people discriminate. Oh, I guess you, oh, well, here, well, here, there. It's just me, spewing out. I could talk on that one a whole day because that's me. Now, let's do a little honesty here. Let's talk about what our default mode is, what it is. So how many of us in here, here's what we're going to do. Put that rubber band on your wrist. You got it when you came in today. Just put that rubber band on your wrist. Okay, put it on your wrist. How many of us, your default mode, by the definition I gave here, is fool? Your default mode of imperfect tongue, fool. Love that. I love it because that's probably the most inflammatory name. I use that name because it was in the Bible. It's probably the most inflammatory name. There's nothing worse than the other ones, but I love that people are, yeah. Okay, how about gossip? Whose base temptation is gossip? Okay, how about mocker? Whose base temptation is mocker? Okay, how about low esteem and rebellious? You won't raise your hand. Who's that low esteem? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you this week to shut up. When you feel the need, like, oh, how about the weather? Did you hear about General Hill? Oh, yeah, like that. When you feel that thing, I want you to just hold on. All I need is like a moment pause, and I want you to go. And my hope is maybe just in that moment of when you grab the thing, you'll stop for a moment and consider your words. And maybe the slight sting will make you go, hold on, do I really want to give a sting to somebody else? Let's practice right now, okay? On three. Here it goes. Pull it out on three. Ready? One, two, three. What are you whining about? I'm doing twice as many times as you are, and I got five times as many services you do this weekend. If you will do that and get yourself to shut up more frequently, I'm telling you, when you speak, your words will be way more weighty, way more powerful. You won't do destructive and break other people's bones with your voice. And you will set yourself up to look more intelligent, to have better relationships, and to be better informed. It's going to lead to a more powerful life. Friends, do this. Keep us on all week. You know, one of the things that I don't like about my role here at Crossroads, I like it and I don't like it. I notice that because of my job, my words are taken more maybe heavily than the average person. If not because of my word, just because of the number of people who hear my word. So it's kind of cool that way, in that if I encourage someone, I know that the average person could say the exact same things, but my words could have more weight. At the same time, if I have a flippant word where it would just, people would think, oh, well, whatever, it doesn't mean anything to it. But if I have the same words, it's like a two sides of the same coin. It's the same as my role as a dad. I mean, my role as a dad can have amazing power in the words, and my words can be and have been very, very hurtful. I had a moment this last year, in the last 12 months, with my daughter, Lena. She spoke a few weeks ago. She did a pretty good job, didn't she? Yeah. Pretty good job. And she talked about a story I want to give you the other side of the story on. I don't disagree with anything she said. I just want to give you a little bit more color, because the second way we can use our mouths is to build up. Shut up and build up. The two applications were shut up and build up. I felt while my kids were growing up that the main thing that I felt like I was there to do and I did was inform, challenge, maybe even toughen them up a little bit. No, not maybe. Yes, toughen them up a lot of bit. And I really saw the weakness of this, or the short-sightedness of only using my voice in those ways, when we were over in Israel together with a tour, and there was a tour guide and I was shutting up so I was able to receive stimulus from somebody else, and I was getting the stronger for it. And he said, Jesus's adopted hometown, I don't know if you knew this or not, is Capernaum. His town he was born in was Bethlehem. The town that he was raised in was Nazareth. But as he became an adult, the town he chose to live in, was his adopted hometown, was the town of Capernaum. I knew all that, but here's what I didn't know. What I didn't know was the word for Capernaum in the original language is the word comfort. Comfort. And the guide goes on to say that Jesus chose a town that was close to his identity because Jesus is a comforter. And as he was talking about that, I was convicted. I felt God speaking to me. And I realized, man, that's why I went to Lena at the end of that little teaching session. I said, honey, I want to really apologize. I've not been a great comforter for you and your brother and your sister. I'm sorry for that. That came out because of him building me up. And then I was able to build her up by using my tongue that way appropriately. Man, friends, I'm telling you, the power you have to influence lives and change the trajectory of our world is, I mean, he's just doing his job as a guide. He influenced my life, and I went on in turn and influenced Lena's life, and it's power. I'm telling you, this is a pattern. It's the pattern. You got to understand, well, I don't have resources. You have your tongue. You have your tongue. You have your mouth. You have more power than you could possibly imagine in your tongue, in your mouth. And by default mode, you're destroying people with it unless you understand this is something I can harness and push forward. So how do we build up with our tongue? Three ways I want to give you. Number one, teaching. Teaching. Teaching is when we take information that we have or that we know and we give it to somebody else. As I interact with people in corporate America, they'll oftentimes say, where I work, information is power, and so we don't like to share information. Basically, what they're saying is, I don't want to teach anybody. That's awful to say. If you have information that could be helpful, help somebody. Information on how to make a square knot. Information on what the times table is. Information on how to resolve conflict. Information on what is equation. I don't know what it is. If you've got information, you should be using your tongue to teach it and build people up. Another one is rebuking. Rebuking. Rebuking is when you have information that has to be delivered that other people know, but they're too weak to deliver it and you want to deliver it. So rebuke is when you just tenderly, and it rarely feels like tenderness, and this is why we don't like to rebuke, because we know how it's going to be received too oftentimes, but you still have to do it. You still should do it. Is when you say something as, I see you heading towards divorce. You need to stop it. That's not going to make you happier in the long run. It's definitely not making God happy right now. That's a rebuke. Or, gosh, you're really funny, but it feels to me like every punchline is sexual in nature. I'd appreciate some more humor that doesn't always have a sexual punchline to it. It's a rebuke. It's power. It's power that's being used. Or encouragement. encouragement. It's when we see something that's great and we just want to build somebody up. It's really weird that we're afraid to give encouragement. It's like we're some miserly old woman who's trying to hold our little nickels together, and I can't give them out because then I won't have them. Or I can't encourage because then I'm going to look like a brown nose. Or we even have this insidious conversation internally where we think, if I encourage and build them up, where does that leave me? I'm down here. I'll tell you, people are never afraid of being encouraged. We live in a society that beats us down and puts us down all the time. And when someone comes along and uses the power of the tongue to encourage, say, hey, I was watching your work ethic. Man, I'm impressed with how you work. Thank you so much. Man, I saw you last week. You were insulted, and I saw that you wanted to really and I saw you hold your tongue. I just want to tell you, I see that in you a lot. You have a great control over your tongue. Thank you. I want to be more like you in that way. Hey, I've seen how you, I don't know what it is. Encouragement. Now, this week, when you have the opportunity to do one of those things, to give information, to get someone to a new level, teaching, to rebuke, to give information that might be difficult, or to encourage, just to fire you up, just to get yourself fired up, let's do it on three, right beforehand, I got to do it on five, one, two, three. Yeah, Just internally, I want you to reach that primal being inside that wants to make a difference with your life and wants to bless somebody. Last verse for us, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Scientists say that when we speak, mathematically, the wave that we create, the frequency, is lost to our human ear in a split second, but that wave goes on forever. It always exists. Theologians surmise, perhaps this is how God judges us. He just captures all of our words. Why? Because our words tell him exactly what our heart is. And your words either will be a way for you to be justified, a way for you to be encouraged before God, or your words will be a way for you to be condemned and be apart from God for all of eternity. Deep. It's our words. It's the power of our words. The book of Romans, it says that if you believe that Jesus has risen from your dead and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth. Not if you get emotional in worship and raise your hands. Woo-hoo-hoo. Not if you, you know, help old ladies across the street. Not if you have more good things than bad things. Not if you cry at the appropriate times. If you use your mouth to say, Jesus, you are my Lord, you are the one who I'm trusting in to get me to God, you will be with God forever. It is our mouth. Just wonder how many of us in here just never used our mouth. Maybe you believe that, maybe you want to act that way, but you've never actually used your mouth to confess and say, you are Lord. Guess what? If you've never said that, that wave isn't there and God never knows. Well, God knows my heart. Of course he does. Yes, because he hears your words. That's what Jesus said. Your words simply bring out your heart. I'm going to pray for us. And if you've never prayed to receive Christ before, if you've never used your words and you want to be united with him in that pattern, I encourage you to say out loud what I'm going to say right now, what I'm praying. So God, as we pray, I thank you that you've seen patterns because you've created patterns, and now you're letting us experience them. And I also know there's someone here who've never confessed, while they want to for the first time, that you are Lord. So for those of us who want to do that right now, and our hearts are going to say with our mouths, Jesus, you are God. And I ask for your forgiveness. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. And as best I can, I'll follow you. Amen. Amen. Something powerful happened right there. You cemented that. Why don't we stand right now? And let's use our voices one last time, the power of our voice, to tell this to God.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy.
You guys, you can get out of here. Thanks for singing. Have an amazing week.